Public radio is here for you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how big your home is, or what kind of car you drive. WOSU and NPR connect you to news and information in civil conversations. That's why 43 million Americans listen to NPR each week. WOSU is part of our community, covering and discussing issues important to you, standing with the facts. Meet the moment with WOSU. Go to WOSU.org/protect.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. More than 80 different projects involving bikeway and sidewalk projects are gearing up for funding. The funding has been generated by a voter-approved sales tax increase. The increase went into effect in April, so the money is now rolling in. But the projects will take some time to complete. We're talking about what these projects will mean for Central Ohio as the region's population is expected to increase a lot by 2050. Joining us this hour to talk about the latest with LinkUS and CODA developments is Monica Teyes Fowler, President and CEO of CODA, the Central Ohio Transit Authority. Welcome back to All Sides, Monica.
Thank you for having me.
So this may sound like a simple question, but the approval of LinkUS by voters, they voted for a tax increase to pay for all of these programs to improve transportation here in Central Ohio. When you put things to voters, there's always a chance it won't pass. So what does it mean to you that it was approved?
Well, thank you for that question. I think for myself and for many of the people at CODA, what it really pointed to was putting a trust in us. So we kind of know where LinkUS stemmed from. It's really a growth strategy. This is more than just a transit solution. This is really about how do we manage congestion in our region for what's expected to be 3.15 million people by 2050 in our region. We've got to find a way to move them efficiently, effectively, in a safe manner. So I think this, to me, demonstrated the trust that the community, the citizens of our Central Ohio have put in CODA and in our partners, because we know we won't be doing this alone, right?
So CODA, Central Ohio Transit Authority, but when people think about CODA, they just think about buses, right?
Absolutely.
Just buses. But there's so much more in LinkUS than just buses. Can you tell us just like list off other things that are transportation that are not a bus?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great segue. So when I say this is a growth strategy, we're not just talking about adding buses. But yes, we will be adding. It stems from really five bus rapid transit corridors. Something that will be new to our region because we are one of the largest cities in the country without rapid transit. That will no longer be the case thanks to the voters' trust in us. But it also means CODA increasing its service by 45%. Mm-hmm. So that's just some of our core service. That's something that resonated with people, recognizing that we did need that. It's a very valuable service. That's going to come in the form of those five bus rapid transit corridors, but also in increasing our frequency on many of our current lines, improving our lines, extending hours, and that may mean some new lines where we need them. It also means an increase in our on-demand service. Right now, that's known as CODA Plus. We're already in some of our suburbs, Westerville.
Is that the rideshare?
It is a rideshare. Mm-hmm. It works very similar to Uber or Lyft, mm-hmm. but it's all operated by CODA employees. It also, I think one of the big things that you'll see is the 500 miles, and you alluded to over 80 projects. These are 500 miles of new sidewalks, new bikeways, protected bikeways, and trails that CODA has committed to funding. So what we're talking about, over 80 projects, that's just within the first 5 years. What we're really looking at is creating a blueprint for a connected community. We have the opportunity to build something out here where other people will look at and say they are doing growth with the strategy behind it in a way that they can manage and maintain and keep people moving without all the congestion headaches that other communities have seen.
Now, it's an $8 billion 25-year project. 25 years is a lot of years. How do you help people understand that they need to be patient, that you're not going to just, like, pop up and have a brand new rapid bus a bus rapid transit corridor tomorrow? It's going to take a while.
Communication. Mm-hmm. Communication is the key here. So we have several avenues where you'll kind of see that. We have our own webpage that you can link us, columbus.com. You can kind of keep updated there. But what has happened is where we were out in the community, where we were out sharing how important this initiative was to support at the ballot, that has now turned to our communication about where we are in terms of progress, what you can expect, working with the businesses along those corridors, working with every municipality and community to help them understand the timelines in that. It's really going to be a heavy lift when we talk about a 25-year progress, but the only way to get people to know what to expect next is that communication.
And the Central Ohio Transit Authority, is it mostly Franklin County, or what other counties do you touch?
Yeah, it's all of Franklin County. Mm-hmm. We also serve Delaware, Fairfield, Licking, and Union counties. Mm-hmm. So small portions of those additional counties, but it's a pretty significant service area that we cover.
And the sales tax was just Franklin County, though, correct?
It covers all of COTA service areas. Mm-hmm. So it includes those small portions where we provide service.
Hmm. Okay. So LinkUS is doing progress reports, and they're going to be published 3 times a year, January, May, September. So your most recent report for when we're talking now is May. What was the biggest news you felt like you were announcing whenever you issued your May report?
The biggest news is really sharing the good news that we have already begun the work. So you mentioned over 80 projects, the transit supportive infrastructure, which translates to those sidewalks, trails, bikeways. That was approved in January by our board. That slate of projects was approved. We are taking an updated this month, but it still includes 83 projects. We are on the move to get those projects funded and get them moving. Additionally, I think one of the big things we've been excited about is just adding frequency and service. So in May, May 5th, we actually launched our midnight lineup. Mm-hmm. That essentially means we have now service past midnight. I think our last bus pulls into the garage close to 2 a.m. in the morning. And when you think about when our first bus heads out, and that's, you know, 3-something, we have people kind of getting ready for those first lineups. We are so close to making that connection to 24-hour transit service. So midnight lineup was extended to over 30 lines in our current service. All of our fixed route that line up there, that means that now we are serving those second shift, often third shift workers that didn't have access to this all of a sudden. That was something that we, you know, really kind of tooted our horn about. Mm-hmm. We're excited about it. When we actually got to spend time at a lot of our transit centers sharing with people, hey, this is coming, be ready. You could see the excitement, and people understood immediately what that meant. So whether you're out at work, but sometimes just kind of a night owl, you like to be out.
You need that ride home late at night.
You need that ride home, yeah. And this has really kind of created that environment for us. So really excited about that. Obviously, we're also always happy to share the progress that we're making on the bus rapid transit corridors. We have 3 in design. 2 of those are listed in the FTA's Federal Transportation Administration's Capital Investment Grant Program. It's listed on there as projects that they are focusing on to fund in the future. That is huge for us. That's something we continue to share. Where we're at right now is about 90% design with West Broad. That is, very close. And so when you think about design, you know, when you get to 100%, now all of a sudden I can start moving utilities. I can start breaking ground on that so that we can move into construction. So these are big things. East Main is at about 60%, and Northwest is already approaching its 30% design. So we are moving right along. Those are all things that we can't wait to share, that we love to share, that you'll find in the progress report as well.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the 25-year, $8 billion Link Us plan with the president and chief executive officer of CODA, Monica Teyes Fowler. Now, let's dig in a little bit more about what bus rapid transit, these BRT systems. So what is it going to actually look like? The first one that you're doing is the East Main BRT. Is that what we're going to go with? We're going to say BRT, are we?
Yeah, BRT is the common acronym in transit talk. but actually, our first line is West Broad.
Oh, okay. West Broad. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm flipping through with my
no,
thing.
No
there
problem.
It is. There yeah. it is, West Broad. Okay, so West Broad is the one that is that you said is through the design, almost through the design phase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell me exact what does bus rapid transit mean? What will people see? What is it going to be?
Yeah. So I love this question. And the other question I get a lot of time is, you know, light rail, right?
Yeah,
light
yeah.
rail comes up. And so it is very comparable to light rail. And what I mean by that is you really are focused on a dedicated guideway. So that bus basically is not mixed in with the mixed traffic. So you won't see it mixing in a whole lot with the single occupancy vehicles. Mm-hmm. It also has, you know, very specific platforms so that people can board. It's called level boarding. So when you think about light rail, you think about, you know, you don't have to step up onto the bus or step down from the bus. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you'll see in a bus rapid transit. Those buses are built so that they come up flush to that platform, that boarding platform, and you can just kind of step on or roll on. That becomes very important when we talk about speed, because all of a sudden, if you've ever seen someone in a mobility device or with a stroller or something, they have to deploy a ramp to allow people to get on and off of those buses. That takes time, and strapping those individuals in also can take time. This actually allows people to just roll right on, roll right off. So you've already kind of sped up that process. All of the fare collection will happen off board, which allows people to just get on and off. You won't have that line at the front of the bus waiting for people to get in, scan their card or their mobile device to get on. All of that can be done off board, which really kind of speeds it up. The platforms are built such that it really feels more like light rail versus what we see right now, those on the side of the road, you know, a shelter. This will look a lot different. It will feel more like you are at a train station. And so really kind of excited to share the similarities there, because I think people will fully understand and immediately feel the difference when we talk about rapid transit versus fixed route service.
Now, in addition to the rapid transit, this is a dedicated line in the road, right? So we won't be stopping as much or sitting in traffic or having to worry about as many red lights that aren't a bus stop.
Correct. So you're absolutely right. You'll see less stops actually on a bus rapid transit. So where we have a bus stop on our fixed route right now, maybe like every block you'll see a stop. You'll see less of those. We kind of try to space them out between a half a mile in between each stop, but they're really meant to kind of speed up the process of boarding and offboarding. The other thing is you're right, there's that dedicated guideway that allows the bus and the bus only to travel in that spaces. That will take a little a learning curve here, and since we're not accustomed to that, but we'll use tools to try to help people understand that that's specifically for buses. The other thing that will happen is we'll also have transit signal priorities in some areas. That will just kind of allow us, if there's a lot of traffic, it will allow us, similar to when you see emergency vehicles, they get priority to go past the light, that will kind of work on the buses as well, so that we can kind of move faster and keep people where they want on a more reliable basis.
Now, the bus rapid transit has been described by your partners at MORPSI as basically light rail on wheels.
Yeah, that's right? A great example. Yeah.
Okay. So was there discussion of taking all this money, this 25 years, $8 billion, and building a light rail instead of doing all of these? Or is the way Columbus is set up and designed, I'm sure you had a consultant, more than one consultant, is this the best way to move people around the city?
Such a great conversation. And I think that it's important to understand how strict the formula is in order for us to be able to receive federal funding for these projects. So when I say that, what I mean is they're really looking for density. You have to have the ridership. You have to demonstrate before you build it that you can build and have the ridership day one so that they can put in their portion of investment.
So this is not an if you build it, they will come situation. You have to already have the people.
You have to demonstrate a certain level. Yeah. So Columbus and the Central Ohio region right now, we just don't have that density in order for us to rate high enough so that we can kind of receive the funding for light rail. But we do have the density, and we can demonstrate, and we do rate well when it comes to bus rapid transit. So, you know, there's those options. The other thing is bus rapid transit at its, you know, premium will move as quickly as light rail. So you're really not, you know, taking any hits when you go to bus rapid transit. It's just something that, you know, for people, light rail feels sexy. It feels like something. But, you know, what I'll say is BRT can move as quickly, and it costs about a sixth of the cost of light rail. So it just makes it very easy for us to determine this is the right choice for us, for our region, and for right now. What I would say is that doesn't mean that in the future we don't see light rail. It just means right now the density is not there for us to rate high enough with the federal government for us to receive federal funding for that.
We are talking with the president and CEO of CODA, Monica Tellez-Fowler, and she is our guest for the hour. Coming up, we're going to talk about more of the latest developments with CODA. We'll talk a little bit more about that federal funding. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Link Us is a 25-year, $8 billion transportation plan, which includes bikeway and sidewalk projects, as well as a network of bus rapid transit corridors. A new sales tax went into effect in April and will help pave the way for the future of CODA, the Central Ohio Transit Authority, and all public transportation in and around Columbus. Our guest this hour to talk about Link Us and CODA's latest transit developments is Monica Tellez-Fowler, President and CEO of CODA. Thanks again for being here, Monica.
Yeah, happy to.
And listeners, what would you like to see in the future for transit in Central Ohio? We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can give us a call at 614-292-8513. You can also send us an email to allsides@wosu.org. Again, that's 614-292-8513. So I interviewed the candidates for the open seat on Columbus City Council, and one candidate, Jesse Vogel, is campaigning on the idea of fare free transit for CODA buses. And this isn't 100% a new idea, but do you think it's possible? Can we be fare free?
Well, what I will say is we're currently in the middle of a study for a no fare. So just kind of doing a feasibility study. I think what really needs to happen is we need to fully understand the implications of what that would mean. So whether that's, our technology, our buses, our security, all of those pieces have to play a part. So we can't say yes or no. We want to support. We have heard other people from the community bring this up. I know this is something everyone's interested in, but I think we need to fully understand these things before we make a decision and then go back and have these discussions with our partners.
Are there other U.S. cities that you know of that are fare-free where it works? Is this the norm or is paying the norm?
So I am aware of other cities that implemented that. It was particularly brought on during the pandemic, and that was a method in which to remove the interaction from individuals getting on the bus and the bus driver, right? So it was more of a safety concern. That's why they went there. Now, I will say that funding for those fares came from other locations. Mm-hmm. So that's always something to consider. But I think the big piece of it is you have seen some of those cities that implemented that kind of reversing that. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, particularly where municipalities who may have been contributing, states who may have been contributing, have seen some funding changes from the federal government. Therefore, they have to find areas where can we find some funds to shift around. That typically comes from something they may be contributing to, like the transit agency. And therefore, the transit agency is left with, a loss. So they've kind of had to shift that. So something to always consider as you're making these decisions.
Now, Jesse Vogel told me that he thinks the idea is like running the app in order to pay for, in order to have money, to ride the bus and all of the, or people who actually go somewhere and like get actual like bus passes and just all of the infrastructure and behind the scenes stuff. He argued that you would, if you got rid of all that because there was no fares, you would actually save money. Mm-hmm. Do you know if that's true?
So I can't say yes or no. I think that's what the fare feasibility no fare feasibility study is for. It's to kind of really examine all of that. It also, would need to examine what does that then do to the ridership, the expected ridership. What would that then do to how many more additional buses we may need to add? Bus operators. There's many moving pieces here, and so nothing is ever just a simple, yes or no answer. And we just don't have the full breadth of it. So I don't think HODA was in a position to make that decision on their very own. Instead, we're working with a firm to really kind of dive deep and understand the full implications.
Are you looking into this because a city council candidate brought it up, or had this been discussed before?
This had been discussed prior to Jesse Vogel. The study was, I think, released. The RFP for the work was released prior to this even coming from him.
When you say RFP, you mean like that you had issued money to request a study?
Request okay. for proposals okay. so that we could get that work going. Mm-hmm. It actually came from some advocates for transit in our region, as well as some community partners who are very engaged and care and want to see people kind of shift to transit.
All right. Well, I guess whenever that study is done, will you come back on and talk to me about it?
Happy to.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit more about customer service for CODA. If people need help with bus service, or if they have questions, or they don't understand how to get from A to B, how do they get answers?
Well, we have a customer service line, obviously, that's always available. We do also have the transit app. The transit app is very helpful. It will actually tell you, you can walk from here to there. You can catch the bus at this one, what the bus options are, how long before the bus arrives, all of those things. So that's always a good tool. You will see in many areas, particularly in high used areas, you'll see a supervisor out there oftentimes. And so I think about downtown, you'll find a supervisor kind of of just walking from Long Street, Spring to, you know, right in front of the State House. Those individuals are always answering questions. Anytime I see them, they're helping navigate people like, where do I catch this bus? That's at this stop. How do I get here? You know, you need to take line, you know, 4 or whatever. So we have people out and about really helping.
Do you know how many people use the app as their bus pass or still get the actual cards as bus passes or just pay one off every time? Do you have numbers on that?
So we have, we do keep, I don't have the exact numbers. Mm-hmm. It's something that I'm happy to share with you at a later date, but we do keep track of individuals who pay by cash versus move into a more electronic base. And so the electronic base can come in the form of your phone through the app. It can come in the form of, you know, Apple Pay, Google Pay. But it can also be a reloadable card, which means that you don't have to bring that back to the office and you just keep that card forever and you just keep loading dollars on it. Mm-hmm. We have seen a shift. We continue to see a shift in that direction. It's something that we work very hard to do and encourage people to do. But I think we're always going to have some element of those individuals who need the day passes, who have to go get it. I think about some of our community partners in some of the social services areas, or medical, they actually receive passes and help distribute those to individuals who may need them to attend medical appointments or other services.
Any plans to go cashless?
I think that, you know, we are very, that was something that we probably would love to do, but I think trying to be mindful of undue burden on people. I don't think everyone can afford to go cashless, and I don't think we're there yet. And so because we continue to see the need, that's not something in our immediate future.
Can you still get on a bus with like a physical dollar bill and pay on each bus?
You can.
Okay. That's what I mean, I guess, with the idea of having to maintain those and keep all that working on each bus. Is mm-hmm. is that expensive for you guys to have through basically 3 to 4 different ways to pay?
Yeah. That's not really something that is the heavy lift in all of this, because, you know, you have individuals who get on the bus with a dollar or something. But typically when those individuals, anytime a bus has a service issue, it's not just one thing. So when they go out there, they're already out there to fix something. They check on, it's usually something simple like a jam or something mm-hmm. like that. And it's usually not a dollar bill that's the issue. It's usually the actual fare media that comes out of it, the ticket that comes out of those machines that get stuck. So
okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I've been using the app mostly in recent years whenever I'm when I'm using Coda. So I haven't thought about putting a dollar in a machine in a long time. So
we thank you for that.
Okay, I'll keep using the app, I promise. We have a call from Francis in Columbus. What would you like to ask about Coda?
Yes, I am a writer of Mainstream. And I'm wondering when Coda is going to start going to the new hospitals, the Mount Carmel in Dublin, the Ohio State in Dublin, Dublin Methodist, New Albany, all these facilities, there is no bus service to. And I'm just wondering when or if that's ever going to be possible.
All right. Francis is asking about getting buses to hospitals that are not the major ones, the more outlying hospitals. Is that on the radar?
That is on the radar. Francis, thank you for your call. Thank you for that question. We definitely have those things on our radar. I can only say, you know, as these things are built, we are in constant conversation. We actually, one of our board of trustee members who sits on our board is works at Mount Carmel. So mm-hmm. so we are constantly in communication. I want to share that we're currently receiving public comments on our line 34 that would connect Hilliard. It would connect the Ohio State University and Dublin. And so some of the focus there, we're looking for comment right now so that we can build that line out to talk about what will serve. But what I will say is right now in Hilliard, we absolutely have it on the radar. It will serve Mount Carmel, Hilliard. And then within Dublin, it will also serve that Dublin outpatient facility. So we are looking at these things as we build lines, like what are those medical centers that we're not touching right now, and how do we serve them?
And if you can't get a bus to the one of the medical centers Francis was talking about, you could use CODA Plus that you were saying, right?
CODA Plus is only in some area, so it just depends on what area you are. If it's in that area, absolutely, you can use that. Mainstream is a good option for some of those as well. So Mainstream does serve those areas, and it will go to those medical centers.
We have an email from Adam, and it relates back to this idea of talking about the rapid transit corridors. Adam would like to see something like a downtown streetcar from High Street to campus, or some sort of something that goes up and down High Street in the same way, like a more dedicated from downtown up High Street to Ohio State's campus. So I'm looking at your map of where you're planning the rapid transit corridors, and it doesn't look like High Street's involved. Is that true?
That's true. We currently have multiple lines that go up and down High Street, though. So, for instance, I am up near the State House. I'm on High. Our corporate offices are on High between Gay and Broad. I caught the number 5 to get here, but I could easily catch the number 2. I could, you know, there's multiple lines.
There's
you
lots
can
of
catch.
Number 2.
There's
yes.
So. You know, I don't think there's anything like that in the immediate future, but certainly something that, you know, it's always good to hear those ideas. And what I would say is when we do have public meetings, and we have them minimally 3 times a year, we have them with every service change. So we have service changes in January, in May, and it's September. Prior to that, you'll begin to see those public meetings. Mm-hmm. And these are the kinds of ideas that we ask people to bring to those public meetings, because ultimately it's what kind of we bring in. We take all of that feedback and we start aligning, like, okay, what do we need to be looking at in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? So
yeah. I don't normally allow 2-part questions, but I like the second part of Adam's, so I'm going to ask it anyway. Adam also asked, what about a more direct something from the airport to the convention center? He specifically is saying light rail from the airport to the convention center. As we discussed, light rail may be a little further away, but is there a way to get people from the airport to downtown faster?
So certainly something we have been discussing internally. We would love to bring that. Right now, I think the expectation is to catch line 7 to get to from the airport to downtown. And if anybody's taken that, that is not an easy ride. And so I full-heartedly agree. We need something that's a little more direct from the airport to downtown. I'd love for it to be light rail. I don't know that that's going to happen immediately, but we're certainly talking about internally, like, how do we create a bus line that doesn't have all the stops that the 7 has that can immediately go from the airport into downtown. So, that's something on our topic. Again, I'm going to suggest that that goes to our public comments for when we have our public meetings, which we're currently having.
And we have a call from Amy in Gahanna. Amy, what's your question?
Oh, actually, I'm in Columbus.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I did vote for the sales tax because I feel that public transportation is very important and we're sorely lacking in. And this seems to be, you know, the thing that we have. However, I feel it's all to be an abstraction because I don't feel any of this applies to me. Is there any thought given to attracting folks such as myself? And there's got to be more than just me. I've lived in this city most of my life, and I have never ridden the bus. I still regard it as, I know major changes have taken place, but I still regard it as sort of like the New York City subway system. And also, I feel that, okay, going downtown, going to the airport, I never go to any of those places. How is this? I'm an older person. You know, can I go to the store? Can I, you know, go to my eye doctor? It's all well and good, but is there any thought given to attracting or including people such as myself who do not have a phone app, who've never done this? It's real easy to say you hop on a 7 and you go to this and you transfer to that. That's like trigonometry to me. It's okay. Baffling. I have never done this in my life, and I don't even know where to start, so what I do is I just don't do it at all, and it's like, okay, that's great.
All right, well, yes, but I understand. We got it. Thank you so much. So basically, is there someone who can help you, like a tutorial on the bus? You could call someone from CODA to come and maybe ride it for the first time with you.
I love this question, and I think a lot of people aren't aware. We actually have travel trainers at CODA. And those individuals are kind of just incredible individuals who come out. They work with groups, but they also work with individuals. They'll help you understand what's nearby your house. They ask you, like, where are the places you want to go? And they'll help you kind of map out the schedule. They'll teach you how to, you know, not only acquire your fare, but also, you know, how to use it when you're boarding the bus. They'll talk to you a little bit about bus etiquette, because that's something that's also important. They're there to kind of answer all your questions and kind of help ease you into something like that.
So how do you hire a travel trainer?
How do you hire a travel trainer? Mm-hmm. Well, most of the time they come from within. But we do have someone who's just kind of incredible. They're really...
Oh, no. I meant how do I hire? Like, how do I get one?
Call.
Okay.
Call.
So just call CODA and say, I want help.
I want help. And you can actually, it's always nice if you can get a group together. Like, we've had people, you know, groups from whether that's churches, religious affiliations, city councils, you know, they'll put together something and say, we're going to bring in all these people who want to know how to use the bus service in our area. All of those things work. But I completely understand the intimidation there, and I completely understand, like, what is it. I do want to say, you know, some of this stuff is, you know, one, thank you for your support, because that's someone who doesn't use CODA but recognizes the importance of it to the community. So thank you so much for that support. The other thing is that I think one of the things we really need to kind of focus on is, you know, what does that do for me if I don't use it? And it's about congestion mitigation. Mm-hmm. It's really about moving people. So, you know, I always say, like, even if you never intend to get on a bus, if you take any of our highways, if you take some of the roads that are congested, this matters to you.
And what about the idea of someone who doesn't know how to use the app? Can your travel trainer teach them?
They teach them all of that. Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. This is 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides. And we're talking with CODA's president and CEO, Monica Teyes Fowler. And she's staying with us. And in a moment, we're going to continue to talk about transit changes, and we can take more of your calls about the future of transit in Central Ohio. 614-292-8513 or email allsides@wosu.org. All Sides continues in a moment here on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Last year, Central Ohio voters approved the Link Us initiative, moving the dream of improved public transit one step closer to reality. The 25-year, $8 billion project means big plans for CODA. Our guest this hour to talk about Link Us and CODA's latest transit developments is Monica Teyes Fowler, president and CEO of CODA. Thanks again for being here.
Absolutely.
And we can take some calls from listeners, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, Monica, you have experience. You worked in transit systems in both Texas and Washington State. I'm sure you go to conferences where you talk to people who have transit systems in cities big and small. What if you could go back in time to the people who developed Columbus and laid out the streets back in the day? What is there something you wish Columbus had when it came to transit that if you could change it with a magic wand? What's our magic wand item that you wish we could do?
Maybe we don't need as many surface parking lots. That was something that I think was quite shocking to me when I first visited Columbus. That's certainly going to set the mindset for individuals. And so now,
so this city is very car focused. Is that what you mean? Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. very car centric, and mm-hmm. so really don't give. I'm not just thinking about transit buses, but also, I think about people on their bikes sometimes when I see them out on the road. And, we're not very mindful of other people moving within our region unless they're in a car. Mm-hmm. And so, let's create areas where people can walk more, bike more, take transit more, kind of create those options.
And we have a question from Logan in Columbus. Logan, go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah. Hey, so I live on the east side and I'm really excited for the BRT. Just wanted to put that in there. Mm-hmm. And I had specific questions about the bike infrastructure being implemented through this new legislation. So I really wanted to know what you guys were focusing on, if you had any ideas so far on the east side, specifically for improvement of bike transit.
All right. So what's the plans for the east side? In the comments here, it says specifically maybe around the Franklin Park area.
Yes. Our designs are all kind of still in the works. And as I mentioned, East Main Corridor right now is still at 60% design. Those bike connections and connections to other trails in that area are going to come as we get a little further in design. I will say that there is a strong push to really kind of add protected bike paths to not just East Main, but West Broad and Northwest Corridor. We're really looking to build out infrastructure that will allow people to connect to COTA, but also connect to some of the other amenities in our communities. So that's why the connections to trails, that's why finishing out those sidewalks and those trails is important. It allows people to move without saying, oh, now I've got to go through this dangerous part of the road in order to do this. So there are plans. You will see them as we move further along through design.
And earlier we talked about federal money because you said that basically to get federal money to help you with a light rail system, you have to have enough people riding the buses, et cetera, et cetera. So this is why bus rapid transit is working best for Columbus right now, because federal money needs to be involved. There's been a lot of talk about federal money being cut. Lots of different organizations around Ohio and everywhere in the country are facing federal funding cuts. How is your federal funding?
Well, we are fortunate because we do have a great working relationship with both US DOT as well as FTA, the Federal Transportation Administration. And we work well with the congressional delegation from both sides of the aisle. We're continuing right now to draw down federal funding and work to ensure our requests are updated like we would with any new administration. We're especially encouraged by the administration's choice to honor the funding at levels that support and continue to fund transit programs that were in the IIJA, so the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. That includes funding specific for capital investment grant program. That's the CIG program. And that is where we are in line to receive money for some of these corridors, these BRT build outs.
Okay. So it seems that federally, money coming from the Department of Transportation and money that's funneled down to you and other transit systems has been sustained, is staying. for now. It seems fine. Yeah.
For now, we are in a good position. Okay. And we continue to see, again, I mentioned those two projects, West Broad Street and East Main Street, both listed as illustrative projects in the fiscal 2026 CIG report. That means we're in line for future funding.
We have a question from Pat in Clintonville. Pat, what is your question?
I'd like to circle back to the reloadable card that the Coda people tout can be reloaded with throughout one's community, and state categorically that's not been my experience over the last 2 years. Coda keeps sending out outreach people that includes a bus and a demonstration on how to enter the bus and pay your fare. And as part of that whole presentation, they say, and we have these reloadable cards. You can load them up in your community. For example, in Clintonville, you can go to your High Street and East North Broadway Kroger and put money on it. So you can use that. You don't have to carry much cash on you, which is getting, especially for those of us who are older, not to carry much cash as we go about our daily business. And
so are you saying you,
as recently as yesterday, I tried putting cash on my reloadable card, and the response was, oh, we don't do that. And I go to other places throughout the community and have that same response.
Okay. So you basically, Pat is saying that they expect to be able to go to the Kroger that she mentioned and put cash on the card and is struggling with that.
That is a partnership we have with some of our local merchants. It is something that our team regularly goes out, because this is not the first time we've heard this. Pat, I'm sorry about your experience. What we have done is really tried to send people out to those particular Kroger locations to say, this is the feedback we're getting from our customers. To some extent, we, you know, have to work with that team there. You can imagine they have kind of shifts in their personnel as well. So what we have been discussing internally is adding additional merchants, maybe merchants with that are have smaller
businesses.
On a smaller scale. Yeah.
So you're saying that maybe certain employees who work at customer service at Kroger just don't realize they're supposed to be doing the bus tickets.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Or they don't know how, and therefore they say, we don't do that. But the fact of the matter is they are meant to be able to accept that and do that.
Hmm. Okay. We have one more email I wanted to get to. The name got cut off, but residents east of 270 are sometimes forced to stand in the mud because there's no bus stop covers and there's no benches. How do you decide which bus stops have covers? When do you add in benches, and why don't all of them have them?
Yeah, so right now we have over 3,000 stops in our network. That is pretty significant. We do have a program where we try to get out and add new shelters and benches and whatnot in different places. We also are working very closely with municipalities. So you can imagine, you know, for instance, we can go out to a location and really kind of say, okay, we're going to lay an ADA pad, for instance, on this particular corner. The issue becomes then that if we have not communicated with that municipality, they will then begin to get, why aren't their sidewalks connecting to this ADA pad, right? And so we're trying to do it in a thoughtful and collaborative way with our partners is what is important. So we also, we look at what's the feedback for different stops. We take into account what the municipality's plans are for that particular area. And that's really how we kind of develop a plan for what's next in that program in adding ADA stops.
Can people request, if they're constantly standing in the mud, can they request like a covering at their favorite bus stop?
Absolutely. And that is all part of our public comments period.
And in just a couple of minutes we have left, I wanted to ask about, previously, you've been on the show and we've talked about the shortage of bus drivers. Do you feel like you have enough bus drivers, and how are things going with keeping enough bus drivers to keep COTA moving, as you like to say?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we don't have that issue anymore, Amy.
Good.
So in 2024, we had a new contract that went into place. That was something, one of the first contracts I was able to negotiate. Mm-hmm. We were very proud of that contract. It actually really changed the way we manage things internally and operationally. And what that has done is really kind of create a platform where people actually enjoy working for CODA. They enjoy being operators. And so we have had an influx of operators. We have a wait list, if I can, you know, be completely honest, where people are waiting to get in through orientation and training. So that is a good problem to have. We are working on, our training department's always working on how can we get more people through and faster. And every operator they're able to get through and add allows us then in the future say, okay, our next service change, we're going to add frequency or we're going to expand hours or those kinds of things. So we can't do it without the people. We're very lucky. We're very fortunate right now to be in the position we're in.
Our guest this hour has been President and Chief Executive Officer of CODA, Monica Teyes Fowler. Thank you so much for joining us on All Sides today.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.